Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Amud Bet with the last sugya of the sixth parak, final Mishnah Chet. Hamocher makom lachaveru lasot lo kever. Now earlier we have the Mishnah of one, if a person buys a location or accepts a job of building a house in the different dimensions, now somebody has either bought an area for a catacomb. I have to remember that certainly from the times of our earliest history until through the times of the Mishnah, already buried in caves in one form or another. So if somebody buys an area to make a kever, if somebody accepts the job to do so, the cave itself has to be excavated to 4 by 6. And you can then have 8 little, I call them tombs, but they're cave inlets in which the bodies would be placed. You have 3 on each side because the wall is 6 amot on each side and 2 on the opposite wall of the entrance. So when you walk in, to your left, to your right, there's 3 small entrances and opposite you, there's 2. The kuchin, or kan arba amot, the length of the kuch is 4 amot. Ruman sheva, the height is 7 tefachim, which is an amah and 1 tefach. And the rochban shisha, and the width is 6 tefachim, which means you have 1 amah, and then you have an amah of wall, and you have 1 amah of kuch, of space. All right, keep that in mind. We'll see at the end of the Mishnah a variation on that. Rabbi Shimon Omer disagrees and says, "Oseh tochah shomara sheshemot ashmona." He says that the inside of the cave should be 6 by 8, which of course is going to allow for more kuchin, and therefore he also says, "Upoteach tochah shlosha asar kuch." You have 13 kuchin. How's that? Arba amikan. So on the side walls, which are 8 amot, again, you can always have half as many kuchin as you have amot. So there's 4 on each side, that's 8. The opposite wall is 6 amot, so there's 3 there, that makes 11. And there's 1 each on the side of the entrance, so that when you walk in, effectively each side, there's going to be 1. Now, where is it standing? That's something we're going to deal with right away in the Gemara. Now, besides that, Oseh Chatzer al pi ha-me'ara, above the cave, over the area where you go into the cave, which itself is not where the Meitim are. The Meitim go into the Kuchim. You make a Chatzer, a yard. Shesh al shesh kimloch ha-mita v'kovra. You have to have it be 6 by 6, which is long enough for the bier and those people who are carrying it to get there. And then they go down into the cave. And then you open up 2 caverns into the chatzer, achat mikan v'achat mikan, one on each side. So in other words, from your opening up on top, you can go down into one or into the other, which means whatever we said is now doubled in a symmetrical fashion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Arbala Baruchotea, he disagrees and he says the chatzer opens into 4 catacombs. Now remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, you have 13 kuchim in each one, which means here you're going to have 52 kuchim, according to Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel says everything depends on the strength of the bedrock. What that means is whether you can put, let's say, on a 4 amah wall, in the Chachamim's position, the opposite wall, you could put 2 kuchim. That depends on how strong the rock is, so that maybe you could even fit 3 in there if you don't need as much of a division of rock in between them, or maybe you can only put 1. So there is no set amount. In other words, the set amount is not hard and fast. Now, the first question is, in Rabbi Shimon's take on the size of the Me'arah, the first half of the Mishnah, he said that you add 1 on each side. Where are they? If they go out of the cave and it's away, then people are walking over them all the time when they're bringing Meitim in and doing other things, and that'll be hurt. We also said that if you stand in the Chatzer HaKever, you're Tahor, because there's no Meitim there. But according to this, there'll be 2 Meitim sticking into the Chatzer, coming away from the opening. You make it like a pole standing up, which means that you bury them straight down. You dig a hole and drop them straight down. Says that's the way you bury donkeys. You can't do that. So Rabbi Yochanan, David, will be friends of Rabbi Yochanan, you have to put them sort of on a corner. But if that's the case, then the kuchim will hit each other because they're on a slant. So Rashi says, so what it means is you have to dig lower and have them be, like from a top-down view, they'd be crossing each other, but because they're underneath on a lower level, they wouldn't cross each other. And he said, you have to be mamik. Why? According to Rabbi Shimon, who has four caverns, one in each direction, how could you ever have four caverns if you don't have multiple levels? Because the tombs are going to knock into each other. Just look at all the pictures that are in any of the Gemarot, and you'll see you're knock into each other. It must be that you're digging on different levels. The same thing here for Rabbi Shimon's two extra ones. He tried to answer and said, no, you don't have a proof from Rabbi Shimon's four, because Rabbi Shimon's four he could have made kind of like fanned out. He said, that's a mistake. That's an incorrect statement. Rabbi Shua never would have said that. Why? Remember the Pythagorean theorem, which is loosely comes out to every amma that's squared, the hypotenuse is 1.4. So kamahavi lahu, if that's the case, if you're 8 by 8, chad sari v'chumsha, then the hypotenuse is going to be 11 and 0.4. Kuchin kamehave, how many kuchin do you have there? Tmanya, you have 8 between the two sides. Tmanya machad sari v'chumsha v'chumishkacha, though you can't fit 8 into there. Alad rabhad rabhuna rabhishua brutahi, that's clearly a mistaken statement, we're not going to buy it. We're going to go back to Rav Rashi's statement about ma'amik, you dig on different levels and that solves it. The other possibility is that perhaps those two that jut out in Rabbi Shimon's situation are for nephilim, for fetuses, that, you know, miscarriages, and therefore it really needs no specific no length, so it doesn't need a bar mouth, and therefore it could work that way. So that would also work. All right, Tanan Tam. We have a Mishnah that's a Nazir, it's a Mishnah that's also an Ohalot. Hamotzei Meit Mushkav Kedarko. If you find a dead person lying in a normal fashion, the Sugya Nazir talks about what normal means, how the body's placed, etc. Notlova Tfusato. You can move it along with a certain amount of dirt around it. Shnayim Notman Vetfusatan. Two Meitim, you could do the same thing. In other words, you could reinter them, or you must reinter them. They have a certain amount of the dirt around them, the Tekona, that goes with them, but you can move them. Now, matzah shlosha, but if you found three, and again, mushkav kedarko, so they weren't just killed in battle or something, they're actually buried. If you find three, imyesh benham mi'aba ad shmona, if there's anywhere between 4 and 8 amot between these three bodies, then it is a shchunat kfarot. Then we have to assume that you've really stumbled into an ancient cemetery. Then you have to check from each body in every direction 20 amot to see if there's any more bodies. If you find one even a srimama away, you got to check another 20. Because now we have reason to suspect that it is a shkunah kvarot. There's still the Mishnah Nazir that if you had found the body, if you had found the original body, you don't know it's fusato, and taken it away, fine. But the fact that you waited and you found a second and a third, now we have a pattern. Now, let's take a look at this. Who is the possible author of the Mishnah Nazir who says that between 4 and 8 amot could be kvarot? Irabanan, it can't be Rabban. Hamidalat amot hashesh. They say that the thing is only 6 wide. And Rabban Shimon, Haram Shish Hashmona. Rabbi Shimon says it's wider, it's 6 by 8, which means 4 amot is too close. The Olam Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon. V'haytana hu detanu etzan rutsufin v'nimenein dalat amot alchet. And follows this bright that says Yeshlan tfusav v'hinan shchunak kvarot. Tanakama says that if they're more compressed than 4 amot, then they, even though there's a lot of bodies, you still move them because it's not a shchunat kfarot. We ignore the ones that are in the middle. The rest count. So in other words, we're able to ignore the ones that are too close and say that was some sort of a mishap. But the other ones really constitute a proper shchunat kfarot. So that means that we're saying that the Mishnah Nazir is Rabbi Shimon, who says really it's 6 to 8, but if it's closer, then that's just a mishap. Mayu kimtak Rabbi Shimon. So you say the Mishnah is a Rishimah, I'm a Sefer, Bodekim and Olam, Esrim Amad. You check 20 Amot in every direction. Mani, E Rabbi Shimon, Esrim Etartan Havin. According to Rabbi Shimon, who has the size of the cavern being 6 by 8, you'd have to check another 22 Amot in order to see if there is another cavern that's attached to this, connected. E Rabban, Tam Nehasari Havin. According to Rabban, it only has to be 18, and there's nobody would say 20. The answer is Leonim Rabbanani, it's Rabbanan. You may have measured, you don't know that you did, you may have measured on a diagonal. And a diagonal from 18 amot is going to then end for being 20. So, how about son and how about son? Maybe each one is balach son, and then for esrim mitar to happen, and now suddenly it's going to be 22. We don't have to suspect the unlikely possibility that both of them were on diagonal, and therefore you really had to add that much extra. We'll see that same machshava come up in a little bit. He says the Mishnah Nazir is Rabbi Shimon. What we're talking about here is the reason it's only Arba Amot, and the reason I only have to check 20 Amot is that there were some fetuses, some miscarriages. So maybe all of them are miscarriages, in which case maybe even 18 are more to be okay. So again, this is the same thing. We don't have to suspect that both of these, in the unlikely circumstance, were places where miscarriages were buried. And now we have a contradiction within the Rabban's thinking and it within Rabbi Shimon's thinking. Right, none. This is a Mishnah and Kila. And Karam on Tuah Pachot Mi Arba Amot. Bishun Ore Eino Karam. If you have a Karam, a vineyard planted with less than Arba Amot between each row, Rabbi Shimon says it's not a Karam, and therefore, if you planted it, you don't come back from war. Chumam Hareza, and it's not a Karam for Kila. Chumam Hareza Karam. Chum say it is a Karam. For any time, saying Kila Inan, we ignore the rows that are in the middle. In other words, we say there's four Amot between rows, and there's a row in the middle. We ignore that row. So now there's an internal contradiction in each position because Rabbanan, in the case of the Kever, said there can't be bodies in the middle, and Rabbi Shimon says there can be, and we ignore them. So Rabbi Shimon, Lokash, how do we answer Rabbi Shimon? Hatam lonati inshia daita liyakir. Nobody plants vines in order to uproot them. If you have vines every two amot, then you didn't plant a carom. Hacha zinin demitrama lemin benashoshabim o mikri umanchile. But sometimes a person may be buried in an unlikely place because it was just before Shabbat, and they had to bury him, and so they buried him there, and even though it wasn't in the right place, they'd come in and reinter him later. Rabbanan also is not a problem. Since there's too many bodies together, it's not really called a kever. But in the case of the vineyard, the guy says, shaper, whichever ones come out good are fine. Whatever doesn't come out good will be firewood, so that's fine. So in other words, each one of them has a position of explaining why in their case they would say we can ignore the interfering ones, and in the other case we will take the interfering ones into account to redefine the area. Okay, Hadron Alach HaMocher Peirot, Yirtz Hashem, we will begin the very short parak of Beit Kur in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a lovely day.